Ronnie Payton lives and works in a low-income housing complex in downtown Seattle. He's a Vietnam veteran, a jazz keyboardist, and a medical marijuana user. That's for his glaucoma, a condition where pressure builds up in his eyes and leads to staggering headaches.
Like your head's going to bust. It's just pressure. And you just smoking and just relieve the pressure.
So he medicates most mornings when he wakes up around 5:30. That's what he did on Christmas Day last year, the day Payton would become a test case for the new marijuana law, then just weeks old. After working all day, Payton got a call from his daughter in Renton. You coming to Christmas dinner or what?
I was thinking, maybe, I was tired, but I went anyway.
Payton borrowed his boss's car and headed out into the drizzly Christmas night. He was in the right-hand lane going south on Route 167 when it happened.
And I heard a bump, a little bump.
Payton had rear-ended a RAV4 SUV that had just merged onto the road. It was just a fender bender. No one got hurt. But a state trooper showed up and put Payton through field sobriety tests. Those did not go well. Soon, Payton was in the patrol car in cuffs.
So we go to the hospital, took my blood. The police officer took the three vials and split.
There's no breath test for marijuana like there is for alcohol. Instead, police can have a blood sample analyzed. And now, for the first time, there's a legal limit for the intoxicating ingredient in marijuana, 5 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood. Payton's would come back well over the limit, so it didn't matter that Payton says he wasn't high. It didn't matter if it had been 14 hours since he last smoked or that he was a medical marijuana patient. The numbers said he was guilty.
We have not had any information as to who the state is going to call as a toxicologist. As far
Payton
as
hired a lawyer named Jesse Corcoran, and one of his top priorities was keeping that blood evidence out of the trial. In a pretrial hearing, Corcoran questioned Washington State Trooper Cliff Roberts about what he saw that Christmas night.
His eyes were bloodshot, eyelids were particularly droopy.
Roberts is a certified drug recognition expert, and he rattled off the signs he was trained to recognize. The eyes, the raised taste buds, the body tremors.
We had already confirmed that alcohol was not in his system. At that point, we were going to be doing implied consent for blood and transporting him to the hospital. There's no point in going to a police station, then going to the hospital when we could just go directly to the hospital.
And here's why Roberts could do that. By driving a car, you give the police de facto permission to take, with probable cause, your blood. That's implied consent. But this March, a new wrinkle showed up. The U.S. Supreme Court decided a case called McNeely, which found police had to clear a higher bar to collect evidence like blood. They'd need a warrant from a judge. Aaron Norgard of the King County Prosecutor's Office says that threw blood DUI cases into legal limbo.
And it kind of left law enforcement officers figuring out how to gather this evidence, prosecutors figuring out how are we going to be able to prosecute these cases. It caused a sea change.
So King County threw out the blood evidence in all cases like Payton's. Marijuana DUI arrests plummeted from 19 before the Supreme Court case to just 4 since. And the state was left to prosecute Payton like they would have back before December, relying on his behavior and the trooper's testimony instead of the straightforward chemistry of a blood draw.
If you have a breath ticket or a blood test, that's always going to be easier than walking through all of the evidence and establishing that the person's ability to drive a vehicle was impaired.
Please rise. Court is again in session.
Payton went to trial in September. Defense lawyer Jesse Corcoran did his best to explain away the trooper's observations. Bloodshot eyes? The guy has glaucoma. Tremors? It was cold outside. In closing arguments, he told jurors the state had not met its burden of proof.
Now, if you have innocent explanations, then we're not even in the ballpark of beyond reasonable doubt. Where's the smoking gun? Where's the DNA evidence? Where are the fingerprints? Where's the equivalent in that case?
You could say the equivalent was Payton's blood test, which the jury never heard about. The jury deliberated a few hours and came back with a verdict. Not guilty.
Oh, my God. It's like a physical burden had just lifted off of me. Changes your whole attitude.
You could look at that result and conclude Ronnie Payton got away with one. Just lucky his blood draw never came out in court. Or there's Jesse Corcoran's interpretation, that this goes to show the blood limit is bogus for regular users like patients.
I hope that the public becomes more aware of how unfair that is to somebody like Ryan, his situation, and that changes.
Corcoran says defense lawyers will keep challenging the law, and like much else in a world where marijuana is legal, it'll be a while before everything shakes out.
I think there's so much that's still gray. We are in the early stages of chaos at this point.
It's a little ironic because, I mean, the per se limit in particular was really supposed to bring clarity that would make it black and white.
That's never going to be the case. I mean, there's no such thing as black and white to lawyers.
Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.